This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM.
It's a night on the witching hour, your midnight daughter. I heard you tonight, goddamn man, that was good. You're my damn kid.
Ragtime America. I started to say old grass and new grass because that's what was just being discussed. My name's Jack Rummel, and you're here tonight to listen to an hour of recorded ragtime. And tonight we're going to be playing a program that I have entitled The Ladies of Summer. I have discovered that there were quite a number of women ragtime composers who celebrated birthdays July and August. And so we're going to be featuring them tonight. First on the list is a woman named Irene Kozad. Spent her whole life in the Kansas City area, born July 4th, Independence Day, 1888, died August 2nd, 1970. She left us with a couple of rags, and we're going to be featuring both of those tonight. The first one is called the Affinity Rag. She wrote that in 1910, and here to play it for us tonight is Elliot Adams.
Thank you. The Affinity Rag by Irene Cozad from 1910. And from 1913, her other rag is called Eatin' Time. And here is Virginia Eskin. Eatin' Time, Irene Cozad from 1913. That was Virginia Eskin playing that one. Well, moving on now to July 15th, same year, 1888, and our Lady of Summer here is Ethel Ernest. And Ethel Ernest was thought for a number of years to be a pseudonym for Charles L. Johnson. But dogged research on the part of Bill Edwards, who's done an amazing amount of research on biographies of ragtime composers, has established that she was exactly who she says she is, a woman composer, Ethel Ernest. And so let's listen to her one and only rag that we have in our literature. It's called Peanuts, a nutty rag from 1911. And who better to play it than Bill Edwards? ¶¶ little bit of an extra flourish there. Bill Edwards on piano has brought us Peanuts, a Nutty Rag by Ethel Ernest from 1911. Grace Bolin is the next name on our list. Born July 20th, 1884 in Kansas City. Kansas City was a hotbed for ragtime at that point, and she died in Texas in 1976. She's known for one piece, but it's really, really a nice, nice piece, and certainly one of my favorite slower rags. It's called The Smoky Topaz, which she wrote in 1901 when she was working for the Carl Hoffman Publishing Company. Our version tonight will be by Nan Bostick, who, before she passed away, did a lot of research on women composers in ragtime. Nan will be aided on a second piano by Tom Breyer. Thank you. Nice twin piano version there of The Smoky Topaz, written by Grace Bolan in 1901, played by Nan Bostick and Tom Breyer. Well, that takes us through the July birthdays of our Ladies of Summer. Let's turn to August. And born on August 3rd, 1895, is a lady named Edith Baker. She spells her name E-D-Y-T-H-E, but I'm sure it's pronounced Edith. She was a very popular entertainer in the early parts of the 20th century. Let's see, what does it say here? Born in Kansas City. My gosh, they're all born in Kansas City. And studied to be a concert pianist, but attracted the attention of some people in New York City and gave her a two-year contract recording piano roles. And one of her first roles was her own composition called Bluey Bluey, which was issued in 1920. So here then is Edith Baker with her own piano roll version of a piece that she never actually wrote down called Bluey Bluey. Edith Baker, Bluey Bluey. She was popular on the vaudeville circuit, as you can well imagine, seeing her up on the stage performing that rapid-fire piece. She was real popular. Okay, another August birthday lady is Bertha Stanfield, born August 4th, 1890, died July 28th, 1925. We have two pieces by her. We'll just jump right into the first one. It's from 1911. It's called The Cabbage Rag. And I want to draw attention to our pianist tonight, who is Nora Hulse. She has done incredible research on women ragtime composers, most of whom were kind of lost to history, and she has resurrected their history and brought them back to us. She has recorded rags by over 125 of those rags by women composers. So a big nod to Nora Hulse. You'll be hearing quite a bit of her in tonight's show. Here is Nora playing The Cabbage Rag by Bertha Stanfield. That was Nora Hultz, who has played the cabbage rag by Bertha Stanfield. She died just shortly before her 31st birthday from pneumonia, which I guess was fairly common early in the 20th century. Let's turn to Nora again for another of Bertha's compositions, this one from the following year, 1912. It's called Uncle Zeke's Medley Rag, and once again, Nora Hultz. Nora Hultz there with Uncle Zeke's Medley Rag by Bertha Stanfield. Another lady of the summer, Irene Giblin, whose birthday was August 12th, 1888. She was born in St. Louis, Missouri, and spent all her life in Missouri, dying there in 1974. She worked for a publishing company, and she was a song plugger in a department store where she would play songs and people would listen and ultimately buy the sheet music. They published three of her rags, and we have all three of them here this evening. So let's get started on that. Her first, written in 1905 when she was only 17 years old, turned out to be a big hit. It's called Chicken Chowder. And here is a St. Louis native to play it, Dave Majak. Thank you. bit on the fast side. Chicken Chowder, Dave Majak on the piano. Another Irene Giblin song, this one from 1910, was kind of a rare one. It's called The Aviator Rag. And again, we have Nora Hulse to play that. The Aviator Rag from 1910. That was Nora Hulse. From that same year by Irene Giblin comes Columbia Rag. This one on a hand-cut piano roll by Howard Weilmunster of Balmer, Missouri.
Thank you.
the Columbia Rag, Irene Giblin's last published rag from 1910. That was Howard Weilmeister, who cut his own piano roll there. Well, before we move on, I want to bring to your attention an event which will be happening on Tuesday, September 15th. Dick Hyman will be playing a jazz concert along with reed man Ken Peplowski, who plays anything with reeds, so I suppose we'll hear clarinets, saxophones, and the like. But we feature Dick Hyman quite frequently on Ragtime America. This won't be ragtime, it will be jazz, but he is one of the world's most amazing pianists who can play any type of keyboard known and who knows most everything about jazz itself. He's even won 2 Emmys for his TV music scores. So if you are interested, he will be in Greeley on Tuesday, September 15th at the Greeley Country Club. Tickets are available by calling the following number, 970-353-2267. Once again, 970-353-2267 to get tickets to hear Dick Hyman and Ken Peplowski. Next on our birthday list is Adeline Shepherd, born August 19th, 1883 in Iowa, and died, I don't remember where, but I'll look it up, died in 1950. In 1906, she wrote a piece called Pickles and Peppers. And the amazing thing about this piece is that she could neither read nor write music. She played entirely by ear. Got somebody else to write it down and publish it for her. It turned out to be a big hit. It was selected by the Democratic Party for the theme song for William Jennings Bryan, their presidential candidate, in 1908. And Trevor Tichenor refers to it as one of our favorite folk rags of all time. Here's Pickles and Peppers, and here is the New York Ragtime Orchestra. Thank you. Well, they jazzed that up a bit, didn't they? New York Ragtime Orchestra and Pickles and Peppers by Adeline Shepherd from 1906. She wrote two other rags, which were much less popular, but deserve to be heard tonight. So from 1909, here is her wireless rag. And once again, we have Nora Hultz. Not as quite as catchy as Pickles and Peppers, but nice piece anyway. Wireless Rag, Adeline Shepherd from 1909, and then from 1910 comes the Live Wires Rag, as played in a live performance by two members of the Lake Superior Ragtime Society, Tim Sander and Sandy Williams. Thank you. The Live Wires Rag, Tim Sander and Sandy Williams in live performance. Turning now to Sadie Koninsky. My goodness, what an influential woman she was. Very early on, one of the earliest women to see her rags published. She was born in August 1879 in Troy, New York, lived there all her life, and died there in 1952. She was a classically trained violinist that soloed with symphonies. She also had a keen ear for popular music and ran her own publishing company. She never married, but was very, very active in musical affairs all of her life. In 1898, she published a piece called Eli Green's Cakewalk, and it did very, very well. Here is a group, a string band, called the Ragtime Skedaddlers. Green's Cakewalk from 1898, the Ragtime Skedaddlers. And one more by Sadie Koninsky from 1899. Here is Phoebe Thompson's Cakewalk. And here is Nora Hultz. ¶¶ Well, in the background we hear Frizzles by Kate Stith, who was born in Missouri in August 1877, and we know nothing else. She wrote Frizzles in 1907. This is Nora Hultz playing it. This is Jack Rummel saying thanks for joining us on Ragtime America this evening as we have celebrated the Ladies of Summer. One, two, three, nine, I guess, ladies who composed Ragtime and were born in the months of July and August. I hope you've enjoyed what you're listening to and that you'll tune in again on another Thursday evening for some more recorded Ragtime. Time is 9:01. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and on the World Wide Web at kgnu.org. Stay tuned for Swing Shift.
Thanks as always, Jack, and a hearty good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dave Gloss with tonight's very special version of Swing Shift. I'm probably one of the younger people who remember dancing at the old Elitch Gardens Trocadero here in Denver, and we have a special live performance from 1959, well recorded, wonderfully recorded, of Les Brown and his Band of Renown. So we're going to spend an hour with Les Brown. Stay tuned for lots of fun. Les Brown and his Band of Renown was one of the remarkable success stories of the swing era. Les Brown led the band for over 60 years until his death. His son, Les Brown Jr., still leads the orchestra. But it located itself after World War II primarily on the West Coast. Remember now that Les Brown played the backup for Bob Hope and many movies and other radio shows. And so it made sense for him to headquarter his band there on the West Coast and play gigs in the evening that were beyond his television and movie work. So that's where the band primarily was known to be playing. But every summer they would come across the mountains and hit the plains.